We are in Joshua chapter 1. If you're using the Bibles in the little boxes under your seats, that's page 102, page 102. I'd like to read the first nine verses of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. So, O Lord, we need you, and we pray that you would be with us now. We come to hear and think upon your word, and we need you to speak. We need the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. So come, Holy Spirit, and do for us what we cannot do. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a Spanish proverb. Courage wins the victory, not the sword. Courage wins the victory, not the sword. In other words, a battle is not won simply by superior strength of arms, strength of strategy, strength of resources, but battles are won by inner resolution, determination, and courage. If a courageous person is defeated in the first go, he tries again. She finds a way. They snatch victory from the very jaws of defeat. Winning comes from inside a person. It's a function of perseverance, of never say die, of unwillingness to admit defeat. In other words, courage. What is courage? How do you increase courage, especially when you're afraid? Our case study this morning on courage is Joshua, as he assumes leadership of Israel upon the death of Moses and leads Israel into Canaan. So Jim's already read for us this passage in Deuteronomy 31. This is the preparation. Let's look back there for a second, back a couple of pages. So God is planning Moses' retirement from the leadership of the nation, and he puts into place his succession plan. Joshua, not Moses, will lead Israel into the promised land, will fight with and conquer the inhabitants of the land, so Israel will possess the land per God's promise. We have three conversations here. First of all, verses 1 through 6, Moses speaks for God to all Israel. And what does he say? Well, he says, verse 3, the Lord your God himself will go over before you. And just notice in this passage, like, how much emphasis there is on God's doing. I mean, Joshua will lead the nation into the land, but the victories will come from God. Just scan it with me. Verse 3, the Lord your God himself will go before you. He will destroy these nations so that you'll dispossess them. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og. Verse 5, and the Lord will give them over to you. Verse 6, don't fear, be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. This is going to be all God as you go forward. So first of all, Moses says to all Israel, the Lord will go before you. Secondly, he says, Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. It's already been said several times earlier in Deuteronomy. And thirdly, he says, be strong and courageous, verse 6. And also back up, all right, so I've lost it, but it says it there. Do not be strong and courageous, do not fear, for it is the Lord who goes before you. Moses to all Israel, that's the message. Second conversation, verses 7 to 8, Moses speaks to Joshua in front of all Israel. And what does he say? Similar themes. First of all, be strong and courageous. Well, why is that so important? Because of the critical role you're going to play, Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land, and you shall put them in possession of it. Your role is absolutely critical in the victories that will be won. But it's not just you. Reading on, verse 8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Therefore, do not fear or be dismayed. Moses to all of Israel, Moses to Joshua in front of Israel, and then the third conversation, verse 23, the Lord speaks. The Lord commissions Joshua. God speaks directly, not just through Moses, probably a public ceremony. And the message is, verse 23, be strong and courageous. So you have, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land, and I will be with you. So there's three elements common to all these conversations. One is Joshua will go and lead. Joshua has responsibility. Joshua has authority because God sent him. And Joshua is being sent on a mission by the living God. Secondly, in each case, God goes before you. God goes with you. There's the promise of God's help, God's activity, God's presence. And then thirdly, this exhortation, in the moment, as you do this, you need to be strong and courageous, this exhortation to courage. So God wisely and carefully prepares Joshua and the people for what is to come. And we're not so different for each of us. God, your guide in all of your life, is always preparing you for your next steps. You're not on your own. God is in charge and wisely planning where you're going and readying you for it. Well, now back to Joshua 1. That was the preparation. So here we go. God's call to act. Verses 1 and 2, God's call to act. After the death of Moses, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go. The call to act. The preparation is past. The anticipated future is now the present. Moses, my servant, is dead. It's the end of an era. There's been nobody like Moses. Look back, just the page before that, Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 through 12. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. There's never been anybody like Moses. In fact, the book of Hebrews tells us there's Moses and then there's Jesus. Those are like the two towering prominent personalities in the history of God's work with God's people. Moses had carried the weight of leadership for 40 years. Joshua had been his assistant for a big chunk of that time, but now Moses, my servant, is dead. And Joshua must move up to take the reins. Now, therefore, arise, go. If you're Joshua, this is scary stuff. The fact of the matter is, Joshua is no Moses. Moses had faced down Pharaoh, representing Jehovah and his nation of slaves. Moses had called forth 10 judgments on Egypt's gods and Egypt's people. Moses had led the nation out of slavery in Egypt into the wilderness. There were ups, there were downs, there were great trials, there were humdrum frustrations for 40 years. Moses had been face to face with God on Mount Sinai for an extended period of time, receiving direct communication from the living God, his law for his people. Moses was the prophet who wrote the first five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua, just a soldier, man of war, called to lead the nation into battle to conquer Canaan. Joshua had to be conscious of his inferiority and inadequacy, and surely that's why these frequent repetitions in the first chapter of Be Strong and Courageous, because God knew Moses needed to hear it. And yet, God had called him. Now, therefore, arise, go. Go over this Jordan River, which would be flooded with seasonal rains, Joshua 3:15. Go into the land of promise, flowing with milk and honey, incredibly fruitful and productive. Go into the land, a land populated by enemies. Deuteronomy 7:1, populated with seven nations more numerous and mightier than you. Not one, not two, not three, seven of them. A land protected by strong walled cities. Now therefore, arise and go. But look, and look with me. You got to see this. Verse 2, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them. Go to the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Explicit in the call to go is God's promise to give. Go. And I am giving. God's activity will be simultaneous with yours as you go. I am giving. To activate my promise, you must arise and go. And you don't actually have to perform very well. It's not like you go and once you've got the RPMs or the heart rate up to a certain level or you've done certain things, then I'm going to kick in and take you the rest of the way. All you got to do is go, and I am giving. But God will not give unless you get up and go. You go, God gives. As one interpreter says, God promises the land, but the people must take it for themselves. God's call to act. In verses 3 through 5, we see God's promises. God's promises. Now these, well, let me read them for you. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. God's promises. Now these are not new promises. The basic elements of them were given long ago, beginning with Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, sometimes to Moses. The God who promised is the God who says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Malachi 3:6. In verse 2, there is a sweeping promise. Go to the land that I am giving to them, this broad brushstroke. But here, verses 3 through 5, God takes it down a level, more granular, more specific. Because you're going to face a lot. And so I have a promise for you for every phase, every situation that you will face, every fear that you will experience. Here are my promises. First, verses 3 and 4, every place. Every place, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. This is a very vivid promise. They're moving into enemy territory. And every square foot of Canaan is owned by the enemy. Joshua will have to fight for every foot that he intends to make his own. Well, here's a promise precisely fitted for that situation. Wherever I go into enemy territory, wherever I place my foot, that automatically becomes my territory. Every place. But note that I have to go there for it to become mine. God's not going to deed it over to me without me venturing into danger, without me exerting real effort, without me facing down some enemies. And, you know, I don't get to do this like in a video game, sit in a safe place and capture by remote control. Every place your foot will tread, I have given to you. Think about that. I have given to you. Not I will give. It's a past action. I have given to you. By the time you get there and put your foot down, it's already yours. So you can't outrun God and his giving. No matter how far you go, no matter how fast you go, put your foot down, God has already given it to you. What if I face an army 10 times my size? Irrelevant. Every place you go, wherever you put your foot, God has given it to you. What if it's so stormy, so foggy, I can't even see to fight? Irrelevant. Every place you go, I have already given to you. What if I have to fight giants? Like the 12 spies reported. Irrelevant. Every place your foot goes down, I have already given it to you. God knows what you'll face. God knows what you will experience. God knows what you're going to go through. And he has promised. There are no surprises for him. Every place I've already given to you. And then verse 4, he lays out the geographic boundaries of the place. Every place, second promise, no man. No man. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. So the first promise was focused on the territory you will seize, place. Now it's a focus on the enemies you are called to fight. Now, it's the days before radar and guided missiles and airplanes and tanks where distance can separate you and your foe. Then you had to engage them up close and personal with swords and spears and arrows and slings in combat. It was a more personal kind of fighting. Fighting your enemies, each man, one at a time. And here's the promise. No man shall be able to stand before you. You'll defeat them all. No matter how strong, no matter how experienced, no matter how crafty he is or you aren't, the battle is the Lord's. The victory is not a function of you or your opponent. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, this doesn't mean you don't have to fight your enemies. There are no free passes where you can, like, skip the conflict, float over the battlefield, take the victory. You must fight. But God guarantees the victory. Every place, no man, and the third promise, I will be with you. Verse 5, last part. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. This is the best. This is the best promise. Moses, your mentor, Moses, your model, has died and left you alone. But I will never leave you. Just as I was with Moses in the daylight, am I lost in the desert? Where do I go? There was a pillar of cloud which signaled the presence of God was always with Moses and his people, just as I was with Moses. So I'll be with you. At nighttime, in the darkness, where are we? Where's the enemy? What's that howling I hear? There was a pillar of fire, always visible at night, wherever Moses and the people were, signaling that God was there. God was with them. They were never alone, never lost, never endangered, daylight or darkness. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And God delivered on every occasion, Moses and the people, even when they were hopelessly backed up against the Red Sea with an army of trained Egyptian soldiers rushing at them. God opens up the Red Sea, creates a dry path for them to cross, and then it uses that same sea to drown their enemies. God was with Moses. God delivered. And God provided in situation after situation, millions of people in the desert, hungry and thirsty, manna every morning for 40 years. God provides. God delivers. God provides. As God was with Moses, so I will be with you. Let me say it another way. I will not leave you or forsake you. I am committed to you. I will not leave you. And neither your failings, nor your foolishness, nor your wanderings will cause me to desert you. I will not forsake you. Three promises. Every place, no man, I will be with you. And based on that, God's call and God's promises is this call to courage, verses 6 through 9. Three times he says it. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. God has called Joshua to act. God has equipped him with promises, but now Joshua has to go and face his fears and face the obstacles and act. And in that moment, be strong and courageous. But, and you know what Joshua was thinking. You know what's nagging at Joshua, what's burdening down Joshua, what's paralyzing Joshua. Me be Moses' replacement? I can't do that. I'm not adequate. I'm completely inferior. But Joshua, God is calling you. It's not who you are. It's what your duty is. And it's who God is, not who you are. Lead the nation. They're ornery. They're rebellious. They're treacherous. Grumbling all the time. It's too much. Too much responsibility. Absolutely overwhelming. But Joshua, God has called and promised. Face the enemies. Giants. Walled cities. Seven nations more numerous and mightier than we are. Be strong and very courageous. Let's look at this, break it down a little bit here. Be strong. Again, three times. Be strong. God is calling you. Verse 6, look at that with me. We've already seen this theme before, but here it is. Be strong and courageous, for you. You, Joshua, you personally shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. God says, I am giving, but you shall cause. Joshua, I'm counting on you. You have the responsibility. The success of the enterprise, the success of the people, will only come through your action. Your responsibility is inescapable, so be strong. So be strong is a command, right? There, Alexander McLaren says, their strength is a duty and weakness is a sin. Strength is not an option. It's not like the really good guys do this. Strength is a duty and weakness is a sin. So be strong in the moment. Now, the time is here. The time to act is now. Be strong. Don't wilt. Don't faint. Don't give in to fear and discouragement. Don't retreat. Don't go to sleep. Don't listen to your doubts. Don't rationalize that it's time for a break, time to relax. Don't quit. Don't give up. Finish this race. Push through the pain and the tiredness. Calvin says from this passage, therefore, let us learn that we can never be fit for executing difficult and arduous matters unless we exert our utmost endeavors, both because our abilities are weak and Satan rudely assails us. And there's nothing we are more inclined to than to relax our efforts. Be strong. How do I do that? Where do I get this strength? Ephesians 6:1, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God gives me the strength that I do not have, as I seek it from him, and I am determined to be strong, yet lack the power in myself. Finally, be strong in the Lord. It's an act of faith. Be strong. What else does God say? Be obedient. He says, be obedient. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Being careful to do according to all the law. So God had spoken to Moses face to face, a prophet like none other. By the Spirit, God enabled Moses to write 5 books of the Bible. But that's not Joshua. Now he must take God's words that were previously written, and he must learn from them and obey them, a lot like you and me, right? We don't get to write the Bible. We don't get direct revelation. We take the book of God, and it's ours to learn it, and it's ours to obey it, just like Joshua. 3 times, this is emphasized in this passage, verse 7, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. again, verse 8, this book of the law, and then further in that same verse, be careful to do according to all that is written in it. The book of God, the book of the law, the book that came through Moses from God, all that is written in it. Be obedient. What is Joshua to do with this book of God? Well, it's pretty clear, right? Verse 7 again, being careful to do according to all the law. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success. Obey the book. All of it. Don't deviate from it. Don't update it. Don't skip over parts of it. If you want God to keep his promises, you must be committed to keeping his word. Be obedient. So how do you do that? Well, you begin with knowing it very well. That's what he says. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Reflect upon it. Ask questions. Answer them from the scriptures. Say, what does that mean for me in my here and now? And don't let it depart from your mouth. Keep thinking about it. And since you tend to get distracted when you just read silently, say it out loud. And talk about it to other people. And the point of it all is not to be a little intellectual or a theologian, but so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. You know in order to do. And what is the outcome of obedience to the book of God? Verse 7, that you may have good success. Or, it says it twice, then when you obey, then when you do, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Obedience to God brings the blessing of God. Be strong, be obedient, and be courageous. Because you will have fears. You will have anxieties. You will have real obstacles. Courage will face the fears. Courage will refuse to back down. Courage will refuse to give up or go away. How do we do that? Because God has called. God has laid out my path for me. I'm not making this up. I'm not jumping into something. God has called me to this. And if he's called me, he will equip me, he will go before me, he will go with me. God has called, and God has promised. So I must. I can. I will be courageous. Okay. You and me. What is God calling you to do? Where are you at in life now? What has God given right in front of you for you to do? What is God calling you to do? Are you a student? Well, then certainly God is calling you to be a light on campus. Are you a believer, a part of Redeemer? Then God is calling you, among other things, to love earnestly your brothers and sisters. Or are you a leader in some setting? Then God is calling you to take initiative in that setting. Are you a father? God is calling you to set the course for your family. And I'm pretty sure that whatever your calling is, it's probably a stretch. It's probably a little more than you thought you signed up for. Whoa, God wants me to do that? More than you're capable, or at least more than you feel capable, of fulfilling. Do you have a sense of inadequacy, a sense of being overwhelmed, that your task is greater than you are? Well, that's a safe feeling, because God uses the weak. God uses the humble. But I'm saying, realize that God has called you, and you are not on your own, and that God has sent you. And with God's sending comes God's promises and power. You have a duty, a responsibility. You have a mission, a calling from God. God's call for you. As with Joshua, God has granted you, 2 Peter 1, his precious and very great promises. Promises for every need that you have. You say, what are they? My friend, go looking. And this book is full of them, with your name and your situation written right on them. Especially his presence. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is faith, to respond to the call of God, to take his promises as true and worth living for, 2019, to obey the word of God and to act for God in the moment. Be strong and courageous. This is faith. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we need strong, courageous young men who will resist the pervasive sexual immorality of our age, and who will commit never to look at porn, who will commit to maintain purity, who will fight against many temptations our culture seduces us with, who will commit to live for Jesus and speak for Jesus with a clear, cleansed conscience. We need strong and courageous young men for Jesus. We need strong and courageous young women who will not be pressured into believing that their sensuality or their appearance defines them, who will believe the word of God in every dimension, regardless of what our culture imposes. We need strong, courageous young women. We need strong, courageous young people who are same-sex attracted, yet who will let God's verdict on what is holy, beautiful sexuality, one man and one woman in marriage, be their standard for life, and who will unashamedly let their light shine in a dark world. We need strong, courageous children who love Jesus and who will live for Jesus even when other kids make fun of them. The list could go on. This is for each of us in our calling. We need courage. This is a call to courage in the here and now for you, where God has placed you, where God has called you. God gives his promises. God gives his presence. Live by faith. And for some of you who do not know God as your Father, for whom Jesus is not your only hope for life, what God calls you to is not so much courage, but faith. Because the Son of Man came to seek, to look for, to find, to save the lost. He did not come for good people. He did not come for religious people. Jesus did not come for people who have it all together. He came to find and rescue people who had lost their way, people who had become overcome by failures, people who had gone wrong, desperately wrong. Jesus came for people like you, to look you up, to hunt you down, to find you, to save you. You need Jesus, and Jesus invites you to come to him. We'd love to talk to you more about that if that doesn't click for you. Let's pray.